his head was split open.
What? Didn't you like disappear 5 months
ago? What are you doing here? Probably is involved with demons. When it rains on a bright sunny day.
Why do I have to turn my clothes inside out every time I get lost?
And why does your pantry always have to be ready with adobo ingredients at any point in time?
I don't know, but we'll find out. I'm Anima.
And I'm Ice. And this is the Gods Must Be Crazy. We are super passionate about Philippine mythology and folklore. And we want to learn about it, with each other.
Yeah.
So, every other week or so, we will be bringing stories that we're super interested and curious about and telling it to each other. And we'd love if you could join us.
So join us to learn about where these myths come from,
mm-hmm.
what are they all about, and do these myths persist till today?
Okay, I wanted to do a real mini-sode.
Wow, let's see.
Because there's this fascinating story that I encountered. And I couldn't really find anything else or much else about the topic. But it's basically a time travel story from Philippine folklore. And I found it super interesting because there are a lot of fantasy stories in our oral tradition, but you know, sci-fi in a Philippine setting, you know, there are a few stories here and there, but it's not obviously as big or as well known as our fantasy story. So I was looking for like a time travel story in the Philippines. Like, is there any story where like someone traveled back to like, I don't know, Mitos Arizal or something like that, right? It's not the story we're going to cover today, but I was really intrigued to find an account of a time travel story from the 16th century.
Ooh.
From 1593.
Okay.
About someone who traveled. I don't know if it's really a time travel. It's more of a space travel. Like, he traveled from one country to another.
Okay.
So, let me just jump straight into the story. So, in 1593.
Okay.
There was a Spanish soldier.
1593, so the Spanish would have been here for about 70 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In 1593, there was a Guardia Civil.
Yes.
Right, so one of the civil guards, a Spanish soldier, who was based in Manila, and he was guarding the Governor General's palace.
Mm-hmm. Right, for so those of you who have been in Intramuros,
which is the walled city in Manila, this used to be the headquarters of the Spanish rule, and they would send over a governor general to basically manage the country on behalf of the king. And at that time, it was the seventh governor general, Gomez Perez Dasmariñas.
Mm.
Very Spanish.
Yes.
And the soldier's name was Gil Perez.
Yes.
And he was one of the main kind of palace guards. Now, on October in 1593, the governor general was assassinated by Chinese pirates. So he went on an expedition in Moluccas, which is an island in Indonesia. And there was an expedition, the governor general was there, and he got assassinated by the Chinese pirates. And it was a very specific, he died in a very specific way. And this becomes important to the story.
Okay.
Because his head was split open.
What?
By the pirates.
In like the middle? Like a melon?
I think so.
Like Rurouni Kenshin style? Like split in the middle?
Rurouni Kenshin.
Yeah.
So anyway, his head was split open. And so it was super hectic at the time. It was literally, I think, the night of the assassination and then the day after. It was super hectic because there was no successor. Obviously, mm-hmm. like he wasn't.
Isn't there like a vice? Come on, Governor General.
I know, right? But I think maybe there were a lot of other Spanish politicians who were like fighting for the top spot as kind of the replacement. So So it was super stressful, and Perez was on duty at the time. Mm-hmm. And then he kind of like, he was like tired. So he was just like leaning against the wall. He said like he felt a bit dizzy and a bit tired. So he was leaning against the wall and he kind of like dozed off for a bit, right? Now, when he opened his eyes, he was like, huh, I'm still at the palace, but why does it look different? And because he didn't know any better, he just did his job. So he was patrolling along that same place. He was saluting people, but everyone's giving him strange looks.
Uh-huh.
And then he saw another soldier and he realized the uniform was different. And he was the only one with his own uniform. So there was someone who passed by and he kind of called him over. He's like, hey, where am I? And he said, oh, you're in Plaza Mayor, which is in Zocalo, in Mexico City.
Ooh.
So, which was called New Spain at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So, eventually people realize, like, who is this guy? Because he looks like a soldier, but not our uniform.
Yeah.
And someone recognized it as, hey, isn't that the uniform of people from the Philippines?
Yes.
Is that a Filipinas uniform? And so he was
Because Philippines was actually run out of Mexico. Even if we were a Spanish colony, we were under the auspices of the Marquis of Mexico.
Yeah.
And so, like, when we went to Acapulco before, because of the Acapulco-Manila trade, they were like, you are from the Philippines? This is where everyone left to go to the Philippines. And so there was, like, a little Filipino community in Acapulco.
Yeah.
Because that they knew and were very much aware.
And they used to bring a lot of Filipino workers to Mexico.
Yeah.
So anyway, so he was brought to the Viceroy because he were like, oh my God, enemy soldier or whatever. Like, why is he here? So he's brought to the Viceroy of New Spain, Luis de Velasco.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was questioned, like, why are you here? What are you doing? And the observers at the time said that he was super chill about it, like, because he was kind of an old soldier, he's like 40 years old, but he wasn't nervous at all. He was just like chill and he was just like leaning back, like,
yeah, I fell asleep.
Yeah, I don't know, I fell asleep. I was there, I was in Manila, whatever. And they were asking a lot of questions, and he was talking about the assassination of Dasmariñas. Now, the problem is no one could verify it because it just happened only the night before, and galleon trade and
what, 3 months
ago. So travel? They only got news between Philippines and Mexico through the galleon trade, right? So it would be a few months before they could confirm. So he talked in great and explicit detail about the assassination because he knew it, but people were like, what the hell? And obviously they were freaked out because, I mean, we haven't heard anything. How could this be? So, you know, because the Viceroy, he kind of liked the guy, but he was also like, you're kind of weird. Why are you saying these things?
So he killed him.
He couldn't do anything. He couldn't do anything to help the guy. So at that time, the Inquisition was actually happening.
Oh, no.
So the religious officials got involved and he got turned over to the Holy Office of the Inquisition, or the Spanish Inquisition.
As a witch.
Yeah, because they were like, he probably is involved with demons. Brought to Santo Domingo in the Caribbean, where he was placed in jail for desertion and being a servant of the devil.
He didn't desert, he just fell asleep.
But the thing is, so here's the thing. I guess he kind of was Spanish enough or imposing enough that they didn't give him too hard of a time.
Okay.
Because one of the accounts that kind of talked about it said that, you know, honestly, he was enjoying himself because he had fair rations. It was a bit comfortable. It's in the Caribbean.
That's true.
And he was like, you know,
was he a prisoner or was he just...
A prisoner, but like, you know...
In the Caribbean.
He was like, my conditions here are better than like...
In the Philippines.
Yeah, fighting like in the jungles of the Philippines is what he said.
Fair.
But, you know, they were questioning him and he just kept repeating the same things because he's like, well, I'm not lying. You're going to find out eventually.
Yeah.
And because they couldn't confirm, they couldn't pass a ruling about it, right? So eventually, one day, months later, arrived in Acapulco and revealed that all of his claims were true to the exact detail. And in fact, he was called back to Mexico from Santo Domingo, and one of the passengers in the galleon recognized him.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, yeah, I've seen you before.
Didn't you like disappear 5 months
ago? What are you doing here? So, and so they were like, oh my God. And so the conclusion with him was like, he probably is allied with the devil because how else could he have come here, whatever.
Aliens.
But also, we don't want him around. Like, take your devilishness back to Manila. So he was sent
back to the Caribbean.
No, he wanted to stay there as a retirement plan. But
because he's already 40. That's what you do when you're 40,
he's
right?
He's like, yeah, I'm an old soldier. I deserve to rest. But he was 41. Eventually sent back on the next ship to Manila.
Okay.
So that's it. And no one knows what happened with to him after that. But I found it extremely fascinating.
That's
if you look up folklore of Mexico, it's one of the stories that keep getting featured. And there have been like different theories that have been passed along as to like what caused it. So some obviously said, oh, maybe he has ESP, like teleportation. Yeah. And some have even said like, maybe it was like alien abduction or whatever. But I mean, to this day, like no one can explain
like, it's like, okay, what are the possibilities? He's been in Mexico all along.
Yeah.
And then he just thought of it. But then that person from the Philippines recognized him.
Yeah. And you know, when he arrived, he was in the palace same already, clothes. And he was wearing the uniform. So it's one of those things that people
Star
are
Trek.
Like, can't explain.
In Star Trek, they Star transported Trek. Him and they put him in the wrong place. They said, like, we need to put this guy. We picked him up. We need to put him back where we got him.
Yeah.
It's, where is it? Somewhere near the equator. People are brown and Spanish are people that speak Spanish. Okay, okay. Mexico?
Seems right.
Could
Seems
be.
Right.
Okay, let's do that.
But yeah, so
Star
that's
Trek.
So that's
that's so cool.
Right?
What
right?
happened? It is the R&D guy from PNG. He'll bear.
I don't know who that is.
And is the Dasmariñas guy? Is he the what Dasmariñas village is named after?
I'm not sure because he was in the early days of Spanish rule because he was just the 7th governor general.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure if he would have been. And then I guess Dasmariñas would have been
marshland.
And a famous name. Maybe, actually, possible.
Possible.
Like what? Because he died and so they commemorated him by naming Laguna about
because,
it.
Because,
I don't think so. I think maybe there are a lot of. There's one other random time travel story, but it's just, it feels so bogus. In 2018, this guy...
It's bogus na. 2018.
No, in 2018, this guy says that he's a time traveler from 2030, and he had random things to say about the Philippines and Southeast Asian
like
nations.
What?
So, I think he's a guy from the UK, and he says that he came from 12 years ago, so 2030, and he had like a lot of like he witnessed a lot of changes in terms of global powers and human experimentations. So according to him, the Philippines got absorbed into a powerful coalition of Asian nations, and the country began to modify its population by implanting people with brain-enhancing chips.
What?
So it was this whole thing.
And did he say anything about a global pandemic?
No.
Then he's wrong. He's bogus. If he said like, and in 2020, there's going to be a weird global pandemic. The Philippines is going to be the worst off of all the South Asian countries.
But he actually said the opposite. He said like, the Philippines was going to be like a utopia. Because, what did he say? He was like, in 2030, the Philippines actually started to implement brain chips into as many of its people as possible.
Okay. Well, we got 9 years to go. Let's see.
No, but yeah.
This is our time capsule. And then let's see if it actually happens. Cool.
Yeah, so that's it. I really would love to have a bit more of sci-fi themes in Philippine stories and like time travel, teleportation themes. Obviously, we have a lot of like mythological, folkloric, supernatural beings, but I would love a legit like going off into space and cyborgs and
well,
stuff
like
that.
Well, there are
like
a lot of newer stories.
Yeah, there are.
And maybe we can do a retelling of that later on.
Yeah.
So very exciting.
So that's it. I think this is our first successful mini-sode.
Yes.
We just found it very interesting and fascinating. We couldn't fit it into like a larger theme. If you have any similar stories that you are familiar with or have heard of that are a bit more like sci-fi, like ESP kind mm-hmm. of related, like we'd love to hear about it. So you know how to reach us. We're on Instagram. You can also leave us voice notes on anchor.fm and we'd love to hear from you.
Awesome.
Isn't it so cool?
It is.
This has been an episode of The
Gods Must Be Crazy.
We hope that you enjoyed listening in. We will be posting episodes every other week or so. So, you know, please join us for the next one.
In terms of sources, where we got our stories, and how we know what we know, we try to do as much research as possible, within a reasonable amount of time, of course, and we try to stay close to the original tellers of the tale as much as possible. However, we do know that a lot of our mythology comes from oral tradition, stories that your grandma and your grandma's grandma and your grandma's grandma's grandma told to you. So, if our renditions or our stories are a little bit different from what you know and what you grew up with, please do let us know.
Follow us on Instagram at thegodsmustbecrazy.pod. We do post some additional information there. We post the teasers of what's coming next, you know, and any other things you may be curious about that we feature in our episodes. Who is Gardo Versos and why does he keep appearing in these different episodes? What are the different recipes that we feature for tinola and black rice and adobo and stuff like that? And obviously, it's where we would love to hear from you as well. If you have any other stories that you want to feature or maybe requests of things that you want us to feature. There's also a way to directly talk to us and share any of your stories. So if you go to our anchor.fm website, there's a button there with a plus sign and it says message, and you can actually record voice notes or voice memos for us to listen to and also possibly feature in the episodes themselves.
And of course, where you do listen to us, whatever platform it could be, please do rate, review, subscribe, download. We are on Spotify. We are on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. We're even on Audible.
Yeah.
So please share with your friends, tag your friends on our social media, and share your stories too if you feel like it.
Yeah, the best way to support, you know, young and new podcasts like us is really just to spread the word out. So if you are listening on Apple Podcasts, you know, put in a rating and maybe a review of what you like about the show. Or if not, you know, just share it with your friends on social media, and you know, that would be really, really helpful for us. So until next time,
bye.